I was involved in this project that recovered the Zerta's wolf spider, which is a Zerta's it's a small sub archipelago of Madeira, so these Portuguese islands close to Morocco, and close to the main island there is this three small islets, which are the Desertas. One of the islets, which is quite small, about 10 by 1 kilometers, has a small valley. And in this small valley, there lives a big spider. In fact, the largest spider in Europe, or one of the largest spiders in Europe, which only lives
how,
there.
How big?
It can reach 4 centimeters only body size. So with the legs, probably it's almost, I don't know, but probably the palm of my hand with the legs. And they are quite robust, and they are the top predators there in this valley. And this large spider is only living in this small valley, in a small islet, close to a small island. So it's
endemic.
Yes, it's really a strict endemic. And one of the rangers there found because of an invasive herb, Phalaris, the spider was decreased its population by about 80% in just a few years. Basically, the roots of the plant were taking over all the small crevices and holes where the spider hides, so the spider will not have a place to hide, and will be really it couldn't find a place yet to rest during the day, because it's a nocturnal species. And we were able to involve the Bristol Zoo, because they were quite interested already in protecting invertebrates. So we were able to involve them and to create a really quick intervention on site. We took the experts together with the national with the natural park experts, because these are protected areas, to the field. Take 25 individuals, juveniles, with them, and they were breeding the species in captivity in Bristol Zoo in the UK, and it was quite successful. So right now there are about 10 zoos across Europe which have this spider, which show the spider to the visitors of the zoos, and apparently it's a big success. People are really interested because it's such a large, in fact it's black and white, so it's really showy spider. It's so people can see that it's not only the big vertebrates which can grab the interest of the public. So it was quite a successful breeding program. In the meanwhile, we have recovered the habitat. So there was no need to bring back the ex situ populations to the valley. But anyway, it was such a success that the zoos are continuing. And they think that many visitors are coming to the zoos because of the spider, in addition to other to everything they have, of course. So it is possible, it has been done, and it has been successful, but it's there are not that many cases. I know also now they are starting a few projects with snails, there are projects with grasshoppers, so yeah, but all this started maybe 10 years ago, and the interest is growing, but it's still not that common, but we hope at some point the zoos can collaborate further with us and in in protecting many more species.
This kind of ex situ conservation typically is done in order to return the individuals back to the natural habitat, and in the meanwhile, as you described, there can be certain interventions done at the habitat. So in this case, probably like taking out the invasive plant, so that the spiders would have more of those crevices to crawl into, and at this case, it was successful. So the natural population size increased, and then there was no need to return the captive individuals back to the island.
Yeah, in this case, it was not needed, and yeah, that was the one of the main goals to have this population just ready to do some to reintroduce the species in the habitat if needed, and this is related with another goal, which should be if everything fails in situ, so in the valley, if we will not be able to recover the native vegetation, then yeah, the species will go extinct in the wild, and we'll have this safeguard in the zoos that maybe then we could find later a solution to recover the habitat, or even that at some point there were some talks, maybe we can translocate the species to another site that would have better conditions, but this was never attempted. It was never needed. So having this safeguard and this population to reintroduce the species is one of the main goal. But of course, there's also the second goal, which is also to show the species to all the people that don't have the chance to go to this island and to this valley to look at the species life in their own environment, then they have the chance also to see the species and know about it and to get an interest in it in the zoos without leaving their own country. They can have a little bit of what it looks like in nature and a bit about what the importance of these species and what kind of threats they are being subject to, and all the information that we can transmit to the general public. So this was the second goal also. These information educational purposes.
Yes, it's very important to educate people also on conservation and on conservation of not mammals.
It's of course a critical part when you try to recover the habitat to control the invasive species, and one of the goals is precisely to restore this balance between all the native species that originally occurred in the valley, and it of course it's important to mention that usually we don't have that much knowledge about what was there before. Yeah, disaster occurred, right? So in fact, for example, in the case of this valley, we know that it even had a pine, I think it was a pine forest plantation just in the 50s or 60s or something like that. So it was not natural at all for the place, and something that we are always fighting with is trying to get to know, okay, what was here before men came and drastically changed the environment. What species were here? What other species, this one that we know is endangered, really needs to survive? So many times we are just guessing. Okay, if we restore this with these native species that we think were there before man came, we might be able to recover the species, but it's always a bit of a guesstimate, informed guesstimate of what we know that should be there, and that in this case the spider will need to survive. Sometimes sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, just because we didn't get the right variables, we didn't know all the interactions that were in place before the species needed our help. It's always a bit of a informed guessing game, but it often goes right, and we are able to recover the habitat and the species, and even if not to the with everything that was there originally, because we don't really know what was there originally, but at least creating something that has the minimum number of interactions for things to occur in what looks as natural.
This goes back to the classical description or definition of conservation biology being like a crisis and a bit like a medical science where you need to act rapidly in order to remedy a disease, and you need to do your decisions based on restricted amount of knowledge. So of course conservation should be done as evidence-based as possible, but we often don't have all the information at hand, and we need to work with the things that we know